It's Thursday, December 11th, 2008, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers. Welcome to the podcast. We're so glad to have you here, and we hope that this holiday season finds you with bountiful harvests and good friends to share them with. I hope you check out the blog at stash.normal.org. I've been doing a little bit of housekeeping, trying to spiff up the style sheets so that the site looks the same in all those different browsers out there. And while I was doing so, I added a few extra things. Check out the sidebars where you can vote in the change.org Ideas for Change in America. We've also got our stash pot quizzes. I'm asking all sorts of questions of the cannabis community. Over on the left, we've got some cannabis laws in North America. You can download my latest map showing all the different medical marijuana laws, hemp laws, driving laws, all as it pertains to the cannabis community. And I've added a whole bunch of new links. The 420 comedy links will show you all the websites of the various comedians that have joined Terry Joyce and I for 420 comedy. I've added a new section for legal issues where you can find the official state programs for all 13 of the medical marijuana states, as well as some other good legal resources. And a new section on research, including all of the federal government statistics on crime and punishment and drugs in America. It's all at the blog stash.normal.org, your source for the growing truth about cannabis. Also remember, all the stories you hear on the Daily Audio Stash Hemp Headlines are included on the Daily Audio Stash blog with all the hyperlinks and photos you can't get in a podcast. Now, coming up on the podcast today, we've got our 420 comedy segment featuring Terry Joyce from Hollyweed Live and ComedyNation.com. She's got Howard Dover joining us today to talk a little bit about the cannabis community in Southern California. Also, we're going to go up to the Big Sky Country, up to Montana, and speak with John Masterson, the head of Montana Normal, about Missoula County, which passed an initiative that made marijuana the lowest law enforcement priority. Why is it then that the city police in Missoula are arresting marijuana consumers at an increasing rate? Plus, we've got some hemp headlines, a little bit of reefer madness, and a jug band for our musical break. It's all here for you in your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Prisoners in 2007. 1 in 31 Americans are in supervision. 1 in 100 Americans are incarcerated. The Bureau of Justice Statistics has released today its latest report, Prisoners in 2007, which looks at the state and federal prisoner, parolee, and probationer population. More than 7.3 million men and women were under correctional supervision in the nation's prisons or jails or probation or parole at year-end 2007. The U.S. Department of Justice's Bureau of Justice Statistics, or BJS, announced today. About 3.2% of the U.S. adult population, or one in every 31 adults, was incarcerated or under community supervision at the end of 2007. During 2007, the U.S. prison population increased more rapidly than the U.S. resident population. From 2000 through 2007, the imprisonment rate increased from 475 per 100,000 U.S. residents to 506 per 100,000 U.S. residents. During these 7 years, the number of sentenced prisoners increased by 15%, while the general population increased by 6.4%. Black males made up the largest percentage of the overall sentenced population, 36.3%, and the sentenced male population, 39%. Black male offenders had the highest imprisonment rate at 3,138 prisoners per 100,000 U.S. residents of all racial groups, male or female. This was 6.5 times the imprisonment rate of white males and 2.5 times that of Hispanic males. Similarly, the black female imprisonment rate, 150 prisoners per 100,000 U.S. residents, was almost double the imprisonment rate for Hispanic, 79 prisoners per 100,000, and three times the rate for white females, 50 per 100,000. Federal prisons operated at 136% of capacity in 2007. State prisons operated at between 96% of highest capacity and 113% of lowest capacity, compared to between 100% and 115% in 2000. This trend indicates that prison populations are increasing at the same rate of capacity. 253,300 inmates are serving time in state prisons where drug offenses are the most serious charge for which they've been sentenced. They make up about 19.5% of all state prisoners, and about 45% of those drug offenders are black. 95,446 inmates are in federal prisons where drug offenses are the most serious charge for which they've been sentenced. They make up 53% of all federal prisoners. Support for medical marijuana is high in Oregon. From Willamette Week. As reported in this week's Willamette Week, Hoffman Construction General Counsel Dan Harmon has been touring the state to stoke support for a new law making it easier for employers to fire medical marijuana patients. But based on a new poll paid for by marijuana advocates, Harmon's PR campaign hasn't yielded much in the way of public support. In a statewide poll from December 3rd through 7th, 49% said they were opposed to Harmon's proposed changes to the medical marijuana law. 32% said they supported the proposed changes, and 20% were unsure. Anthony Johnson of the local marijuana reform group Voter Power released the results of the poll to Willamette Week. He says the phone survey of 500 people, with an error margin of plus or minus 4.4%, was done by Portland-based Grove Insight. According to Johnson, the survey framed the issue like this, quote, current Oregon law does not require employers to accommodate the use of medical marijuana in any workplace. In the upcoming session, legislators may consider amending the law to allow employers to fire or not hire medical marijuana patients, regardless of where the use of medical marijuana occurs. End quote. The people of Oregon are very supportive of medical marijuana. 56% of voters passed Measure 67 in 1998, and in the past 10 years, the program has operated at a surplus. Voters here also turned back attempts to recriminalize marijuana in Oregon. Only the state's politicians, with their hands in the business lobby and law enforcement campaign contribution cookie jar, seem to feel there's a problem with medical marijuana. One of Harmon's talking points is that there is widespread abuse of the program. He will cite growers who've been busted with much more than the statutory limits for registered medical growers. He will cite patients who use marijuana for pain as people who are faking it to get high. He will claim that when medical marijuana was proposed in Oregon, it was estimated only 500 people would be on the program, when we now have over 20,000. Yes, there are a few criminals who abuse the auspices of the medical marijuana program to cover their black market operations. There are a few criminals who abuse the food stamp program, too. Does that mean we need to end food stamps because a few people sell them for cash? Every system is bound to have criminals that abuse it. That doesn't mean we make patients suffer because a few people cheat. The idea that medical marijuana would only be for 500 near-death patients is a claim only the opponents of medical marijuana seem to recall. The chief petitioner, Dr. Rick Baer, tells me no such claims were ever made. The act requires doctors to certify a patient has one of a list of pre-approved conditions. Unlike California, Oregon doctors cannot recommend medical marijuana for, quote, any other illness for which marijuana provides relief, end quote. The problem for medical marijuana opponents, it would seem, is that they can only conceive of cannabis as a medicine of last resort. See, they live in a frame where marijuana is a deadly, dangerous, mind-warping, personality-altering, soul-stealing, evil-creating illegal drug. So, the only way they can reconcile allowing someone to use it is if they figure the user has nothing left to lose. He's dying in a few days anyway, so the evils of pot can be overlooked. So when they see people who look relatively healthy, leading productive lives, and smoking marijuana for medical purposes, it shorts their circuitry. They'll reject the patient who uses for chronic pain as someone who's faking a backache or it's only a migraine, not realizing that a cannabis regimen has helped that patient get off of the addictive and mind-stupefying painkillers. If you're not emaciated, pale, chemotherapy bald, or in a wheelchair, these people think you're just a pothead pulling a legal fast one to get high. Fortunately, enough people have tried marijuana on their own to know it truly is no big deal, and that if a doctor gives the go-ahead to use it, who is a lawyer for a construction company to say otherwise? Michigan launches medical marijuana website from WDIV Detroit. The Michigan Department of Community Health announced Monday a new website focused on informing residents and health officials on the rules and processes of the state's recent approval of medical marijuana. The website, www.michigan.gov/MMP, overviews Michigan's Medical Marijuana Act and the requirements for patients to apply for the program. The act went into effect December 4th, but administrative rules and the full program are expected to be finalized in April. MDCH Director Janet Olszewski said, quote, the new website is especially clear on how the program will function, and it serves as a valuable resource for health professionals, caregivers, and patients who are seeking alternatives to relieve the chronic pain associated with many conditions, end quote. The MDCH will hold a public meeting at 9 a.m. January 5th in Lansing at the State Secondary Complex General Office Building at 7150 Harris Drive. The meeting will be an outlet for the community to give comments on the proposed rules for beginning a registration process for the medical use of marijuana.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
State's first medical marijuana clinic opens in Southfield, Michigan. The CNG newspapers in Michigan did a write-up on a story I blogged earlier about the first medical marijuana clinic to open in Michigan. Now, full disclosure, that clinic is run by the THC Foundation, who are primary sponsors of this podcast. I wouldn't bring it up again, except for this wonderful quote from one of the town elders.
City Council President Don Fracassi had a lot of questions with regard to the operation of the clinic and others like it. Fracassi said, quote, "I opposed the issue to begin with, but it was approved, and I don't know how they're going to regulate it. I don't know how they're going to tell who's got pain and who doesn't. Is it people who have no hope and are just suffering from pain? Or is it people who are hurt and are doing this instead of taking an aspirin? Is it the medical profession seeking other ways to make more money? I don't know. I'm just against the whole thing. There is enough medication out there to serve the purpose. I think it's going to be misused. I don't see there's enough controls." End quote.
Are you a city official frustrated with your easily duped voters who approved medical marijuana? How in the world will you know who's really hopelessly in pain and who's just faking it to get out of taking an aspirin? Don't despair. We've got the solution for you. It's the new Digital Painometer 3000 from Rusco. Crafted with space-age Owie technology, the Digital Painometer 3000 can register thresholds as low as the pain of a mosquito bite to as high as Guantanamo enhanced interrogation techniques. Now, only those people who register pain at least as severe as a repeated kick in the nuts will qualify for so-called medical marijuana, and the rest of them can use aspirin, acetaminophen, naproxen, ibuprofen, hydrocodone, oxycodone, and morphine like normal people. This continued theme about chronic pain and medical marijuana is one that is repeated constantly by our opponents. Forget about the law for a second. Let's suppose that someone does have a minor pain that could be remedied by aspirin or over-the-counter non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like Tylenol or Aleve. These legal drugs, NSAIDs they call them, kill about 10,000 to 20,000 Americans every year. They hospitalize many more, as these drugs are very destructive to your guts. Why wouldn't someone choose to take an herb that has never killed anyone instead of those pills? Cannabis is easy to use, provides immediate pain relief, eases nausea, stimulates appetite, and makes you smile. We should be encouraging cannabis use for minor pain relief. We might save a few thousand lives each year. Okay, back to reality. The Michigan program requires review by a doctor of medical records produced by another doctor and oftentimes doctors. How many more controls do you want? How many people do you think are going to be successfully fooling a minimum of two doctors with symptoms of chronic pain over a period of time? Now, be sure to join us next week when I'll be talking to a few experts on the subject of pain. It's a bigger subject than just medical marijuana. The drug war is locking up doctors who prescribe legal drugs to their patients for pain.
Hello, Chicago!
Barack Obama has been elected the 44th president of the United States. But will he bring us, the cannabis community?
It's an issue of doctors prescribing medical marijuana. I think that should be appropriate.
Normal is asking you to take action and help us hold President-elect Obama to his word with our $10,000 pro-cannabis law reform ad contest.
When I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Just make a 30 or 60 second video or flash animation that answers the question, what should President Obama do about pot? You can submit as many entries as you like
and winning videos will be featured on Normal's website and television campaigns.
What I'm not going to be doing is using Justice Department resources to try to circumvent state laws on this issue.
The grand prize is $3,500, so enter early and enter often.
Well, I would not punish doctors if it's prescribed. That may require some changes in federal law.
Contest deadline is January 15, 2009. Check NORML.org for official contest rules.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure, and I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
President Obama, we couldn't agree more. Recently, we reported on the situation in Missoula County, Montana, which had passed a lowest law enforcement priority initiative regarding marijuana crimes. And some recent statistics that have come out from Missoula have shown that this seems to be ignored by the local police. So joining us to talk about it is the executive director of Montana Normal, John Masterson. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so what did they find out here with regard to marijuana arrests in Missoula County and in the city of Missoula?
Well, what we found was overall in the county, when you combine the two local law enforcement agencies, the Missoula County Sheriff's Department and the Missoula Police Department, that overall arrests were up over, or citations, I should say, were up over 20%. When we broke it down by the individual agencies, then it turned out that the Sheriff's Department, which enforces the law outside the city limits, their rate of citations had dropped by roughly 13%. However, the Missoula City Police, according to our numbers, their incident rate for marijuana citations is up by a whopping 63%.
Oh, wow. Now, this this initiative that you guys passed up there in Missoula, this was a county initiative, right?
That's true. It is a county initiative, and it calls specifically upon county law enforcement and prosecutors to treat adult marijuana crimes as their lowest possible priority. So there was no direct, literal mandate to the city police. However, of course, the city of Missoula is subsumed entirely geographically by the county of Missoula, and so it was our hope, as naive as it might be, that the city law enforcement would heed the call of the voters, particularly because when the initiative passed, it passed by some 55% in the county as a whole. But when you break it down by the individual precincts that make up the county, the core of Missoula, particularly downtown and the University District and the north side of Missoula, support for the initiative was over 80%. And so if there was not a literal and or legal mandate to the city of Missoula, there was certainly a symbolic voter opinion expressed that please stop wasting your time with these small amounts of marijuana.
Sure. Now, so is that the excuse that the city police are using, that they don't have a specific legal mandate to make this lowest priority?
That's correct. They hold up the strict language of the initiative, which simply does not speak to any city agency at all.
So is there a plan now to maybe go forth with a city initiative? Do you have that option?
There is that option. Of course, as many listeners will know, a petition drive is a major undertaking. And so while we are reviewing that option, what I think we'd like to do is take this directly to the city council and the mayor of the city of Missoula and say, look, you've got support of 80% plus in many parts of the city, in a substantial part of the city of Missoula, and yet your the police that report to you appear to be, by the numbers that we received from the police, have increased their rate of arrest and citation for misdemeanor marijuana. And so it's our hope that we could sort of start with the city council and the mayor to issue the directive to the police chief and by extension the officers in the field just cut it out.
Yeah. Now, one of the reactions I had read from the story here from law enforcement was that the figures might not be trustable, let's say, because they're claiming that because of the initiative, more people thought that it was okay to smoke marijuana, and therefore there was more citations because more people were openly flouting the law. What's your reaction to that?
That's a feasible hypothesis. We don't have any data one way or the other on that. And the report that the committee issued, I think, was careful. I was one of the contributing authors to the report, and the report did not attribute any motivation or specific causality to the apparent increase in citations. And so, I mean, there were surely other phenomena at work that we did not study. But just looking at the raw numbers, the number of reported marijuana incidents from the Missoula City Police has increased substantially, and so there may be an explanation, and that might be the explanation that residents simply believed erroneously that the initiative made it legal to smoke pot openly, which it doesn't.
Okay. Now, another thing that I have followed from Montana recently has been an anti-meth campaign that seemed to have garnered a lot of success and attention up there in Montana. I'm wondering if the people of Missoula that voted for lowest priority had that in mind. I wonder, is there a feeling amongst the people of Montana that there's just a bigger problem to be solved than to have to go after marijuana smokers when there's so much problem with methamphetamine in these rural areas?
That's certainly possible, and some in the reform community even believe that it is strategic to draw a stark line in the sand between the marijuana issue and issues of meth. I know there's also others in the reform community who believe that that's a mistake, and we should and we should treat all drug use as a public safety issue. And so I think there may be some of that where it is about priorities. It's about where do you want your law enforcement resources to go? And I certainly want my law enforcement. I love the fact that I can be confident that if I'm getting attacked and I call 911, the police will come and help. And they have a difficult, dangerous job, and dealing with knuckleheads an awful lot of the time. And I think the people of Missoula just want those dedicated professionals to be focused on issues that threaten life and property and not on casual marijuana use, which by some other numbers that came out of this report, it's clear that the median amount of marijuana that is found in these incidents is roughly one joint.
These
are not major busts. They are small, very small amounts that are found generally. If we believe what law enforcement says, generally found in the course of dealing with some other incident, whether it be running a stop sign, or whether it be pulling a knife in a bar fight, whether it be bad check writing, whatever that may be.
Now, so it sounds like there's still a lot of work to be done to get the city officials to obey the will of the voters here. And whether you go forward with a petition drive or not, it sounds like you're going to need some help. So let's give some information out to the listeners if they're in Missoula, Montana area and they want to help you out. Or even if they're outside of the area and want to donate some funds to help out, are there websites or phone numbers or email addresses you can give to our listeners?
Certainly. The first place to start would be montananormal.org. Montana, all spelled out, montananormal.org. There's the committee that produced the report also has a website that has a sort of long government address, but if you ask Google for Initiative 2 Missoula, you should find it pretty quickly.
Okay. Montana Normal, montananormal.org. We'll have a link to that up on our website at stash.normal.org. And John Masterson is the executive director of Montana Normal, joining us today by telephone. And thank you so much for keeping up the good fight and helping the people of Missoula.
Thanks, Russ. Thanks for doing your show.
You're welcome.
I smoke lots of weed, man. I plant that big old seed, man. I smoke every strain there is in town. From
the super sticky green to the headache makes it brown. I smoked every strain there is around.
I know that I like it. I know that lots of people like it. So let's see what happens if you overdo it.
Do we have any pot smokers here today? Any at all?
My name is Doug Benson, and I'm about to get super high.
The term medical marijuana, you've basically, you drank the Kool-Aid. Because there is no such thing as medical marijuana.
I'm going to smoke pot every day for 30 days and try to remember to film it.
And my movie's going to be called Super High Me
or Business as Usual. I haven't decided yet on the title.
I'm going to be hospitalized, I think.
Some people call it dope. Some think it smells like burning rope. I tell you, it relieves my mind.
Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. One of my favorite things about the wonderful cannabis plant is how it brings together people from just about every culture and lifestyle. I've played rap songs about weed from the British and the Japanese, funk songs about pot from Scotland and Sweden, and rock songs about grass from America and Australia. This time, I've got what may be the first jug band I've ever heard performing a cannabis tune. Sloppy Joe performs this song called Does Anybody Have Any Weed on the compilation album Battle of the Jug Bands, which is available on Yahoo Music. It makes me want to enjoy a spliff on a hayride. This is Sloppy Joe with Does Anybody Have Any Weed?
That's what I get for smoking grass. So I asked a friend of mine if he had some, and all he had were stems and seeds. So I asked if we can grind them down and smoke them, and he said, no, buddy, I'm saving them for tea.
Cause everything about this time
went down to my dealer to see if I can get myself a bag. And he said, I don't have the good kind greener, but I'll sell you another bag of swag. The buds were flat, dry, brown, and seeded, and the stems were poking out the sides. Well, I knew this wasn't what I needed. Need to find myself a better high.
Cause everything about this time I like to take a toe. None of my lazy friends ever seem to have no dough. No, I like to save a little bit for this occasion. Hey, I got myself in a real tight situation. Does anybody have any weed?
Well, mushrooms make you happy, and acid makes you trip. I'm sitting here hallucinating, not sure what the heck I did. Pretty good, but it takes too long for men.
Every just never panned. Cause I was looking for an oasis in the desert, just sailing my ship across dry land. It's a couple of more minutes to 420, and I can't seem to find my stash. So I'm taking off a home to occupation. Guess I'll have to grow my own damn grass. Cause every day about this time I like to take a dump. None of my lazy friends ever seem to have no dough. You know I like to save a little bit for this occasion. Hey, I got myself in a real tight situation. Does anybody have any weed?
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORMA. My name is Keith Strop, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.norml.org.
Weed.
That's the Weed Valley, hoo-hee-ha.
Weed.
Where any office boy or young mechanic.
Now it's time to take a look at 420 Comedy with the star of Hollyweed Live. You know her from the season one of Last Comic Standing on NBC. It's Terry Joyce.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Everything's going good and performing and... You know, just wrapped up on working on a movie, and, things have been pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah. So, medical marijuana in California, we just recently, last weekend, we talked about the Mensch decision, but there's still plenty of dispensaries operating down there, and the scene looks like it's going okay. Has there been any raids to speak of lately?
Yeah. I mean, we have had a few raids. We do have... I work extensively with the Patient Advocacy Network, and they're rallying, having different meetings. We have one coming up December 14th at 2 p.m. At 816 South La Brea. It's going to be a letter writing party for those who are incarcerated.
Oh.
And Charles Lynch will be in attendance, and they'll be talking about perhaps like what maybe Barack Obama may do in assisting changing the drug laws and our prison situation, and hopefully supporting the cause for legalizing medical marijuana, or just maybe marijuana in general.
Yeah, well, it's quite apropos that you'd mentioned people that are incarcerated or people in prison or parole. There's a new report coming out today, just about an hour from now, from the Bureau of Justice Statistics called Prisons in 2007. I've seen a preview of the report, and it just shows what we all know, that there's far too many people in prison for drug law offenses, and we're spending a ton of money on that too. And also, you mentioned the Barack Obama administration. There's this great website out there called change.org, and it's not change.gov. That's the Obama website, but change.org. And they're having kind of a contest where they ask people, what's your idea for the Obama administration? And they have it broken down by different categories, like criminal justice, and they have it for, exploration and science and diplomacy and whatever. And in the criminal justice category, one of the ideas is the legalization of both medical and recreational marijuana. And so far, it's the leading vote getter. And basically what happens is all these ideas are in competition, and whichever idea gets the most votes moves on to the next round. So the marijuana legalization is very, very popular. It's leading right now, and check it out on the Stash. It's up at stash.normal.org. We've got a link to it over on the right sidebar. But yeah, I think that's great that you bring that up, because there's a lot of public sentiment in support of this, not only just medical marijuana, but also social marijuana.
Yeah. Well, I really think that a lot of people who are backing marijuana or marijuana advocates, we were hoping that Barack Obama would get elected.
Yeah.
Even some of the dispensary owners, I talked to them, and they go, well, what do you think is going to happen? And they said, well, hopefully there's a change. And they say, well, I think it depends on who our next president is going to be.
Sure.
And, I mean, he has to, you know, Barack Obama has to deal with a lot of things, $700 million deficits and a war going on.
Yeah.
But hopefully there will be some focus on the legalization of marijuana. I hope.
Well,
yes,
let's let's bring in your guest for today. The guest today is Howard Dover, and I'll let you go ahead and make the introduction there, Terry.
Yes, this is my friend Howard Dover. He is a stand-up comedian, very funny, and a medical marijuana advocate, and he's been doing shows. He's kind of like the forerunner of medical marijuana shows, the most popular one, and the one that has the most following.
Cool.
And he does them regularly at the Comedy Store in the main room.
Okay, well, Howard, welcome to the show.
Hey, Terry, how you doing?
Oh, doing good. So Howard, when's the next time you get to do your performance out there at the Comedy Store?
I have a show actually this Sunday, December 14th, and I'm really, this is probably the show I'm most excited about. I've got global comedy superstar Russell Peters headlining this event, and some other very extraordinary talent. So I'm really excited. We've got about 200 tickets already sold for it, so that's pretty exciting.
Great. And is this a benefit?
I call them extravaganzas. That's the name I call my show, the extravaganza.
That's great. And is this a benefit performance for some group?
It's a benefit, Americans for Safe Access, for MPP, Marijuana Project Policy, and also for the organization that Terry mentioned, Patients the Patient Advocacy Network.
Well, that's great. Now, Howard, how long have you been involved with medical marijuana advocacy?
I'd say well over 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And, it all started with my cousin when he was stricken with AIDS. And he was actually one of the very first Canadians who were given a federal exemption. And, you know, this is going back actually 20 years when it happened for him. And instead of wasting away and passing on like many of his friends and peers, he's, you know, maintaining a relatively healthy lifestyle, in part due to his medical marijuana usage.
Mm, that's great news. Now, you do a kind of a medical marijuana-themed comedy act. What's funny about medical marijuana? What do you base your act on here?
You know, maybe only, I'd say only maybe 10% of it is actually talking about the marijuana and the medicine, and, you know, and I try to be a little original with some of my jokes. You know, I don't want to talk about, you know, the obvious, you know, getting the munchies.
Yeah.
Or being forgetful. I try to put a little more of a positive spin on it. Like how it improves my eyesight and that I don't even need my glasses after a while.
Wow. Well, that's good to hear. So this is Sunday at the Comedy Store. And what time?
9 p.m. Show starts at 9 p.m. in the main room of the Comedy Store. And Yeah, I'm real excited. Last show we did raise enough for a couple of ounces, so I'm really hoping this show just does that much better. That was a joke right there.
Raise enough for a couple of ounces. Gotcha.
These shows are really fun. I did one back, what, in April of last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really, I mean, the level of comedians is great. And, you know, if you can raise money to get an ounce, I mean, that's a good night.
That's a good night, yeah. Hey, so Howard, do you have any performances on the web or any websites you want to promote before we go?
Sure. I guess my website would be the best for people to get any information. That'd just be Howard Dover, D-O-V-E-R, howarddover.com.
Excellent. Well, Howard, we wish you good luck at the performance this Sunday.
Thanks again. If people are hopefully listening, Eddie Lepp is going to be at my show.
Oh,
Eddie
yes.
Lepp is one of those people also, in addition to Charles Lynch, who will be speaking at my show. Charles will be also speaking at my show. These are two people who are facing potential life in prison
right.
for medicinal marijuana. Jack Hare is going to be in attendance at my show, the guy who wrote The Emperor Wears No Clothes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's going to be quite the event. Hopefully people can make it out. And it's $15 if you're involved in the movement. So it's not a... not a big outlay.
Excellent. Now, I am familiar with Eddie's case. He's visited us for Portland Hemp Stock, and I've met with him at Seattle Hemp Fest as well. And he's facing two consecutive life terms, I believe it is.
Sure, 240 to life, yeah.
Yeah, and he was originally going to be sentenced in December, but they've pushed the sentencing off now to February. It's still not too late to write to the judge and ask for leniency for Eddie Lepp.
Absolutely. For any of these people, writing letters absolutely helps. And for Eddie Lepp, cause, they can go to myspace.com/Eddie Lepp.
Yep.
LEPP and help him out. That'd be huge.
Yep. EDDYLEPP. That's at myspace.com. Now, you mentioned the other gentleman. What's his case?
Charles Lynch.
Yes.
Also needs letters. He too is facing potential life in prison. I know he has his own dedicated website, friendsofccl.com. Friendsofccl.com for Charles Lynch.
friendsofccl.com. We'll have links to both Eddie Lepp's site and Charles Lynch's site up on our blog at stash.normal.org so that you can find that and help them out. There's really no reason people should be going to prison for gardening.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for bringing that up, Howard. And folks, get out there. If you're in the Southern California area, get out there to the Comedy Store. Spend the $15. It's going to a good cause, and you can have a few laughs on top of that. And Terry, any performances we need to plug for you before we go?
Well, I haven't been doing a live show recently, but again, you can always, I've done several shows on ComedyNation.com, and you know, it's a show that I'm really proud of. We do the free speech show and the week that was, and we usually talk about a current political topic, and oftentimes we do discuss marijuana on the show as well. So I recommend doing that. We just sold the show to Striker TV, the free speech show. So it's moving on. Striker TV is a website that was created during the writer's strike, their own TV show from some of the major writers from Comedy Central and the Daily Show and everything. So, you know, that's kind of moving up. So I recommend that you check us out.
All right.
That's pretty much all I got going for now. I'm going to be doing some stuff with Howard Stewart, the comedy, Howard Dover at the Comedy Store soon. So I'll be appearing there and around town.
Don't forget about your appearances at Jumbo's Clown Room.
And my appearance is at Jumbo's Clown Room, yes. Definitely. Howard and I were at Jumbo's Clown Room last night at their Christmas party.
Oh.
And there's one of the other waitresses is a comedian named Tanya Moon, and she's going to be on Howard's show on Sunday as well. And we've had Tanya Moon on the show.
Yes,
so,
yes.
We are in development for a three-woman show with burlesque dancers and, you know, kind of a sexy comedy show. So I'm in development for that.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to it, too. And both Howard and Terry, thanks for joining us here on The Stash, and happy holidays to you both. Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. Movie leave you today with another one of our cannabis quotes, this one from a report of the British Police Foundation, which concluded, quote, by any of the major criteria of harm, mortality, morbidity, toxicity, addictiveness, and relationship with crime, cannabis is less harmful than any of the other major illicit drugs or than alcohol or tobacco, end quote. It's about time we ended adult marijuana prohibition, taxed the plant, raised some money for our state and local governments, and leave people alone in the privacy of their own home who want to do nothing more than self-medicate and relax with a non-toxic, virtually harmless plant. Let's get sensible. This is the kind of change we need. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here on the podcast, and take some time to join Normal as well at norml.org. Your contributions help us to create this podcast every day for you. We'll talk to you tomorrow, and until that time, take care of each other, tokers.